Is there something in your heart between you and the Lord? Are you drifting apart, not as close anymore? There's nothing you can do that He will not forgive. Bring it to the cross. Let it die so you can live. Nail it to the cross. Get it under the blood. Drown your pain in every stain in the mercy's blood. Nail it to the cross. Find hope and forgiveness. You battered and bound, struggling for strength. Do you long to lay it down?
Amen. Listen now.
Don't take another step.
Amen.
Just kneel where you stand. Nail it to the cross. Take a hammer.
Amen.
In your
That's
hand.
Right.
Nail it to the cross. Get it under the blood. Drown your pain in every stain in the mercy's blood.
Thank God.
Nail it to the cross. Find hope and forgiveness. Kneel at the tree.
Whatever it is holding you back this morning, nail it to the cross. Get rid of it. Put it under the blood. The Lord will help you this morning. Amen. That's right. All right, let's get our Bibles open this morning. I want everybody to listen to me just for a few minutes today. And I've got a thought on my heart, Psalm 78. We're looking at Psalm 78 this morning. Appreciate you praying for it. We've been preaching down in Salisbury the last few nights, or Thursday and Friday, and then we had our bus meeting here last night and had a great time getting ready for the fall. These are good days to be getting involved in church. If you've never got involved in church, now's the time to do it. Yeah, don't be a visitor all your life. Get involved. I want to become a part of that. What I got to do, preacher? Man called me one day and he said, I'm looking for a church that I can go to work in. And I said, look no further. We'll give you more work than you want to do. Of course, he meant get to run around and act important and wear a tie and get paid for it. And I said, well, it's not a paid position, at least not to get to heaven. Then the Lord will pay you good. But anyway, we need people that will work for the Lord and do it for the glory of God. Psalm 78 this morning, I want you to look at verse 1. And I'm going to bring a thought out of this scripture. This is to all of our parents this morning. Mainly to the parents. Ever mom or dad here today. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, which our fathers told us. Stuff we learned from our mama and dad, grandma, grandpa. Look at verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Say that again. Make them known to their children. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. All right? You see, two or three times there, it said, we got to make these things known to our children. What the Lord was saying there through the writer of the Psalm, he was saying, look, you know all these great miracles that the Lord done for you? Make sure your kids know about them. And make sure their kids know about them. There was that generation that came out of Egypt. And they came out of Egypt, and God wrought special miracles. He parted the Red Sea. Right? And them kids would have never known that if their parents hadn't have kept that story and told their children. Now, we got a lot of kids in here this morning, and we got a whole lot more back yonder in junior church this morning in Sunday school class learning about the Lord. I'm going to talk to the parents this morning about these things, and I want to title the message, Things We Are Keeping From Our Children. Things we are keeping from our children. It is nothing short of criminal or inexcusable of a Christian not to let the great things of God be known to our children. We are keeping these things from our children. Let me say to every parent here this morning, now I know you parents, when that first baby is born to hospital, you thought the very same thing as I did. You looked at that child and you thought, I'm responsible for them. I got to make sure they have clothes. I got to make sure they have food. That's my child. I physically brought that child into this world, and they're my responsibility. If they don't eat, it's my fault. If they don't have clothes, it's my fault. If we don't, that's the way we always looked at it. We didn't have the government to pay everything for us, but we thought, well, we got to do it ourselves. I mean, I'm just our fellows. And you know what? We looked at those kids and we'd say, it is my responsibility to make sure they have what they need. Now, not only is it your responsibility as a parent to make sure they have food and clothes, it is your responsibility to make sure they know about God, to make sure they understand the Bible, to make sure they're saved, and to make sure they go to heaven when they die. When my three girls sitting over there this morning, when the oldest in there was born, she was a little bitty tiny baby. She's only 4 years younger than I am. And it seems that way sometimes. Me and her grew up together. And you know what? It seems like she raised me, really, to tell the truth about it. But you know what? Man, I remember thinking of her, I thought, you know what? That child is going to heaven or hell. They have an eternal soul. Them little babies, these little bitty babies in here this morning, have an eternal soul. They are going to walk the streets of gold with Jesus, or they will burn in a devil's hell forever and ever and ever. Their soul will live on forever. That's quite a responsibility. And God forbid that we should hide these things and keep them from our children. Let me say this morning, first of all, we should not keep our children from old-fashioned Bible preaching. I know people that have got their feelings hurt or got offended and took their kids and left a Bible preaching church and put their kids in a place that's dead as 4 o'clock and never hear the Word of God preach right. Because that's a big mistake. That's a big mistake. I know the devil's going to get on us the way things happen. I'd put up with a lot. I would put up with a lot that I didn't like to keep my kids in a Bible preaching church. A lot. I'm telling you, I want them there. I want my kids to know what preaching is. I want them to know. A lot of kids have never seen it. I've been places to preach, and I start preaching, and I got these kids on the front row, and they're going like this. They're going, oh. What's he doing? And I thought, boy, where have y'all been going to church at? Where have y'all been going? Y'all been going to church where a guy comes out dressed like mama and claims to be papa and don't say nothing the whole time he's up here? Ladies and gentlemen, they need to know what Bible preaching is. That's right. Am I right? They need to know. You know how kids grow up thinking the world's great and wonderful and church is boring? Because they've been kept from Bible preaching. I don't understand our attitude. We are very particular about what we eat and very particular about where we go. But we can just say, well, I've heard people say this. I've heard people say, well, it's so far, I just go to this little church right here. It don't matter what it's like. It don't matter what they serve on the plate. I just think, you don't, when it comes Friday night, they say, I ain't eating around here. There ain't nothing good. Let's drive to Asheville. And they'll drive to Asheville, drive to Hickory, and to eat out. You know why? They're particular about what their soul eats, and or their body eats, and couldn't care less about their soul. Am I right? That's right. And I'm going to tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, you hear me today? It is a crime to keep your kids from Bible preaching. I still do. You put preaching on in the car? I still do. Keep preaching on out. I had preaching going on in my house this morning on the radio. I had preaching coming down the interstate to the church. We went and picked up Barbara over there, and we had preaching going on when she got in the car. I'm telling you this morning, we should not keep our kids from Bible preaching. Let them hear it. They hear the world all day long. They hear country music. They hear rock music. They hear the world's opinion. Don't keep your children from hard Bible preaching. Get you some CDs. They got them back there. Turn on your radio. Not on some weirdo station, FM. You got to put it on AM. You ain't going to hear no preaching. There ain't no preaching on FM no more. Very, very seldom. I'm telling you, you put it on a good station. Let the preach Word of God go out into your house and let them hear preaching. Let them hear preaching. Let them know what preaching is. Let them hear what preaching is. I was thinking this week, I'll be preaching. I told Carrie, I told Corey, I said, listen, I want them kids to go with us Saturday night. My kids over there, they grew up knowing what it was like to get on a bus on Friday night and go to church somewhere and sit in church and hear people scream and shout and praise God. They knew that. People used to ask me, they said, what do y'all do for youth activities? I said, go to church. They said, no. I'm talking about other activities. We go to church. Hey, I mean, almost every Friday night, we load up the bus somewhere, go somewhere and sing and preach. And then you go eat. That's everything else is sin. That's all Christians can do is eat. And then it turns into a sin after a little while. But we'll not get on that. Say, man, we'll not get on that this morning. But anyway, we'd go to church. We'd go to church. And I mean, you know, people say, well, don't you build a good youth activity by taking them bowling? No, you sure don't. There ain't nothing wrong with bowling. If you want to go bowling, go. He said, don't you build a great youth activity by taking them skating? No, you don't. Nothing wrong with going skating, but that don't build a youth group. You know what builds a youth group? You know what keeps kids straight when nothing else will? You know what keep kids straight when mom and daddy ain't even looking? Is hard Bible preaching. I'm going to tell you something this morning. You can say what you want to. You'll never improve on just running back and preaching what that Bible said, and it'll still work in 2014. I don't believe we need a new method. I don't believe we need to get flashing lights in here and make smoke come up and get a rock band. Oh man, that's cool, brother. I love going to that church. I reckon you do. I'm telling you what we need. We need the Bible. The Lord said, preach the Word. The Lord said, preach the Word. The Lord said, preach the Word. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know what you need this morning? Preaching. You know what every kids need here this morning? Preaching. You say, what do the kids need? They need the devil preached out of them. But not near as much as you mamas and daddies. That's right. That's right, brother. I was thinking about tent revival. I would dare say that 3/4 of the kids here this morning have never even been to a tent revival. I wouldn't raise a kid and not let them know what a tent revival is. You say, well, I don't know myself. Well, that shows how. Listen, you know this country that you live in was built by old-fashioned preachers, circuit-riding preachers, going up and down the coast. You know why there's so many churches in the Bible Belt? You know why there's so many Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterian and Bible preaching churches and Church of God and Pentecostals and all churches all over this country? Because our great-great-grandfathers preached all over these mountains and hills and set up tents in that open-air brush harbor. How many of you have ever been to a brush harbor meeting? Would you raise your hand, please? Oh, that's about 20. I was several hundred people in here this morning. Listen, I want to tell you something. A brush harbor is when they used to take brush, harbor, and they would take like corn stalks and limbs of trees and put them up and over the top and all that, and just build a place out in the field. And they'd tell everybody in the community, we're having a revival. And people would just show up and come. And I've preached them. I've preached a lot of them years ago. You don't even ever hear of a brush harbor anymore. A tent revival. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. I remember one time I was preaching a tent revival up in Marion, and somebody set one up right there beside the Hardee's in Marion. They wanted me to preach. And I came out there that night, and I was about 20, 21 years old. I was standing there, and I was preaching my head off. And it started raining. It rained so hard, water was running, and I could feel it getting in my shoes. It was that deep. Water, and I'm just a slopping and everything. And you know, everybody's trying to act like you're paying attention, but you're just looking around like this, you know, and everything. That's tough. I preached another one just a few years ago down here in Denver, North Carolina. And it come the awfulest storm ever was. Right when I was getting ready to preach, the sky got black. And them tents, what they do is they, when the wind blows, they look like they're breathing. They go, whoo, whoo. And first thing you know, you look over and it looks like the pole lifting up off the ground. And then lightning, and you know, them poles are made out of metal, steel. And we're sitting there, and you got your hand on one of them poles. Like, yeah. And I say, Lord, I've been trying to do right. I've been trying to do right. Yeah. And I mean, I get up and preach in that, and you can't even hear. You can't hear nothing. Now, it's not going to be like that this Saturday. The weather's going to be nice. And we're going to have a great time. But listen, boy, you know, kids need to grow up and stuff like that. We've had to abandon ship time or two. I mean, one time we had a tent revival at youth camp. We had a tent set up, and boy, it was full of young people, and it started going, pow, lightning, pow, look at you know, and everybody, I said, pay attention to me. And you know, everybody was trying to pay attention, and he was looking up like that, and finally I said, everybody get out of here. I thought lightning was going to hit the tent, and hit the pole, and kill all of us. And they all just went running out in the rain. You know, kids need to grow up. You say, well, kids shouldn't be out there in the rain. I've seen them play them softball games and it pour in the rain and have to find them. Haven't you? Don't be no hypocrite now. Don't be no hypocrite. They got to go to them ball games. You'll have them ball games are important. Yes, we're going to have our kids. There ain't nothing wrong with them playing ball, but they sure ain't nothing wrong with taking them to an old-fashioned tent revival. Let them see what built this country. Let them see how our fathers preached up and down these countries. You don't have to have stained glass windows and chandeliers and carpet and nice pews. Preach the word. Don't keep them from old-time Bible preaching. You know what preaching will do? It'll do what nothing else will do. Your rules won't. Putting a track on their phone. One lady told me, she said, I'm putting a track on my daughter's phone, and that way I'll know where she's at. And I don't care how much you try to do that, they'll leave them at their friend's house and say, now mama's going to try to track her. Me and them going here, keep my phone. You say, well, I'll check their phone when they get home so they can't be talking. My husband is going to talk to his girlfriend. He buys another phone just for him and her that you don't know about. I'm telling you, you can't keep somebody from sinning. You can't stop somebody from doing wrong if they're going to do wrong. I'm going to tell you something. When that book right there gets down in their heart just right, it'll get a hold of them and hold on to them. And brother, when they start to do something wrong, something will grab and jerk them back. That scripture will come back to their mind. That's what we need in our teenager's heart, y'all. That's why we have camp meeting and preaching and preaching and preaching. It'll still keep you straight like nothing else in this world will. Amen? We don't keep your kids from old-fashioned Bible preaching. Secondly, don't keep your kids from old-fashioned praying. Have your kids ever heard you pray? Do they know that mama prayed? You've heard me say it 1,000 times. Man went to the house one time, knocked on the door, preacher did. Little kid come to the door, he said, is your mama here? Member of the church? He said, sorry, mama prays from 10 to 11. Mama prays from 10 to 11. Now they come to the door and say, Dr. Field's on. Mama can't talk to nobody while he's on. What a wasted life for a grown woman. Grown woman with kids wasting 2 or 3 hours every morning watching something that ain't going to amount to nothing in this life or the world to come. How long has it been since you ladies got in the prayer closet and opened it up and got down and stayed there a while? How long has it been since you men got down the prayer? I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about praying, y'all. I'm talking about staying down there a while. I'm talking about, people don't do that no more. People used to wrestle with God, get a hold of the hands, horns of the altar. Many kids have never even seen mom or dad pray. I've heard some kid, all the prayers they know, they got down and prayed. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If he hollers, let him go. Any, many, many, and they couldn't even figure out what you're supposed to say. I'm going to tell you this morning, we need to learn how to pray. We need to grab those kids' hands at night and say, "Dear God, take care." I'll tell you, I've told you this to my girls. They'll tell you, they're all three sitting over yonder. I used to get down there and pray, and I'd say, "Lord, if they've done anything wrong, get them." Right in front of them. And you say, "Did you say that?" "Yeah. I want them to be scared. I want them to be scared. And by the way, one of them, I won't say which one, not the youngest one, not the middle one, wrote me a letter when she got married. And she said a lot of stuff in it that was a real blessing. And she said, "Daddy, many, many times, growing up in school, somebody'd say, 'Let's go here, go there, go somewhere we're not supposed to, do something we're not supposed to do.'" And she said, "I'd think Daddy's starting to preach somewhere right about right now. He's somewhere in some church." And she said, "Something held me back from doing it." And I remember I used to say, "Lord, take care of them when I'm gone." I used to say, "Lord, listen, I can't tell y'all enough. Build a wall of prayer around your children. That'll protect them when nothing else can. You can't stay with them 24 hours a day. You can't watch every move they make, but He sure can. The Lord goes with them to school, and the Lord goes with them to extra activities, and the Lord goes with them to ball games. And the older they get, there are more places they're going to go without you. And the Lord's right there with them. And by the time they start to do something wrong, the Lord will say, "You better not do that. Take him with them. Put it on them. Pray a wall of prayer in them. Pray the power of God down on them." It does. By the way, can I say this? It does matter where you go to church. It does make a difference. People say, "Well, it don't really matter just as long as you go to church somewhere." You don't say that about where you buy your clothes. You don't say that about what you eat. You don't say that about your grocery store. You don't say that about where you go. Well, it don't matter what game you go to as long as you watch the team. It don't matter what you eat as long as you go to our store and buy it. No, sir, you don't. It does matter. It does matter. I've had people tell me, they'll say, "Preacher, I used to come in high," they say. "When I was out partying, and I'd come in, I'd been drunk, or I'd been smoking dope or something, and said I'd come in high, and I'd close the door so they wouldn't hear me what time I come in, and I'd sort of tiptoe trying to sneak into my bedroom, and so I'd look in there, and said, 'Mama was down on her kiss, and she was down in the floor crying, and saying, God, don't let nothing happen to him. God, please take care of him, Lord, please don't. God, please.'" And he said, "That got a hold of my heart, that I couldn't hardly stand the thoughts of walking past that, my mama's room, knowing my mama it was giving up her sleep so that she could pray for me." Ladies and gentlemen, it's a crime to hide old-fashioned praying from our boys and girls. Let them see you pray. Let them hear you pray. Let them know mama prays. Lord have mercy, this morning we need some mamas that will pray once again. Some of you ladies that are so spiritual, why don't you get you a prayer partner? Learn how to pray. I'm talking about meet up here at the church sometime, and I mean lay here and bawl for about an hour and say, "God, get a hold of it. God, send revival. God, give us old-fashioned camp meeting. God, give us a move of your spirit." Ladies and gentlemen, what we need this morning is old-fashioned praying. Old-fashioned praying. You know, people pray just right nowadays. People think something's wrong with you. People think you're crazy. But I want to say something else. It's wrong for us to hide old-fashioned praising from our kids. You know, the Bible said in Psalm 150, verse 6, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Are you breathing? I wonder about some of you. Lord, I heard about I've seen them. I've been in some churches where people sit there like, have you ever been to a church where everybody in there just sitting there like they're petrified or something? Like they're just, I mean, their face had cracked. They was a smile. One church got so quiet and dead, there's a woman died right there in the service, died one Sunday morning, and they called the EMS to come and get her, and the men come in. They carried four women out before they got the right one. They couldn't tell which one it was. Are you breathing? Are you breathing? Let everything at half breath praise the Lord. You say, how do you praise the Lord? In the Bible, I'll tell you how they praise the Lord in the Bible. In the Bible, they raise their hands. They raise their hands. That's a sure sign. That's a sure sign of somebody praise. You know what they do at a ball game when they get excited? They do like this. You know what they do at a car race? They do like that. You know what they're going to do at a football game this afternoon? They're going to do like that. When you're into something and you like it and you approve of it, them hands go up. Them hands go up. It ain't going to kill you once in a while. I'm not talking about a bunch of foolishness. I'm talking about when you're into it and you think, you know what? I have victory in Jesus. Y'all listen to me this morning. There's a burning hell down there and I ain't going to go. Listen, there's a beautiful heaven up there and I am going to go. I don't deserve it, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. My hands just fly by themselves once in a while. I've done it. I was in Maryland preaching and I run every morning. And I was out running, and this is a true story. And I was running around the block, big old intersection. I was running down the road like this right here. Y'all try, if you run and preach, you really get out of breath. You got to be in shape to run and preach. Try either one of them for 10 minutes. And I was running down the road like this, you know, and cars everywhere. And there was dogs barking here and yonder, and people out in the yard. And I was just looking, the sun shining, and I started singing. And I started singing, I've been blessed. And I could hear Crystal and Newt and Jason and them singing, I have been blessed. And I was going, Father and Mother, you know, Sister and Brother, memories made, Pastor to lead us, altar to pray. And it got on me. And it started getting real. Have you ever been out somewhere like that and God got real to you? And I come up to this big intersection, and usually I time it just right so I can run through the cars. You're a sissy if you stop just because the light's not red, or whichever way you're going. Them little hands that come up like that don't count. You look, and I say, well, I'm going to make it past that one. I'm going to make it past that one. That's the one. And I go through them cars. It's sort of fun, really. It's like playing a video game, but you're in it. And I'm not going to let one of them hit me. You can be sure of that. And I would go through them like that. And all of a sudden I started thinking, I've been blessed. I've been blessed, Lord. I don't know how many of these people's even saved. A lot of them probably don't know you. They've never been seen what I've seen. God, you've let me see revival. Lord, you've let me see people saved. You've been real to me and you've been good. And next thing I know, I was on the corner of that busy intersection, five lanes of traffic, never, and I threw my hands up like this. I said, no, I have no idea. You say, well, people probably thought you was crazy. You know, I'll never see them people again. It don't matter. I've never seen them before. Does it really matter what people think about you? I got a blessing out there. I got a blessing. You say, well, people think, you will never praise God as long as you're worried about what somebody thinks about you. I don't think you're a weirdo if you throw your hands up and praise God. I think there's something wrong with you if you don't once in a while. Ladies and gentlemen, we're hiding old-fashioned praising from our kids. They need to see it. They need to see it. They need to learn it. That's right, praising God. In the Bible, they shouted, they said amen, and they worshiped God with their face to the ground. It's the Bible. In the Bible, they got down like this and got their faces to the ground. How many First Baptist churches of any city in North Carolina have the deacons in church putting their face down on the carpet this morning? You say, Lord, them doctors and lawyers and big shots, They stand there like this. There's some guy told me one time when we was building this building, they was trying to make us plant trees out here in the parking lot. There's ever so many parking places you're supposed to have trees. I said, have you been over there? Have you seen how many trees is around our parking lot? Do we really need any more trees around here? And they said, nope, ever so many. Well, obviously, you know who won that argument. But anyway, they said to the guy, I said, why do we need trees in the parking lot? And one distinguished guy said, he said, well, Reverend, if I came to your church and I went out one Sunday morning after you gave your sermon, and me and so-and-so wanted to talk, we might want a little shade to stand there and discuss what we thought about your sermon. And, you know, all kinds of things. That's our attitude. Our attitude is, I'm going to go over and hear him, or I'm going to go over and let's just see what you... We're going to rate you this morning. That's what people do. They rate the sermon. Rate the preacher. Well, I heard, well, on a scale of 1 to 10, Danny, that was about a 4. And on your scale of 1 to 10, well, you did an 8 today, preacher. Man, you've knocked a home run today. And somehow or another, they think in their mind like church is sort of like a, I don't know, some kind of a spiritual America's Idol or something, where the preacher and the singers get up and we perform and you sit back there and rate. Matter of fact, in most churches, that's the impression you get is what goes on the platform is the show, and the audience sits and critiques it and waits. That ain't Bible church. In the Bible, everybody participates. In the Bible, you're just as much a part of this service as I am or anybody else. Am I right? I mean, we've got this thing all mixed up in our head. You ain't here to rate me. And you say, well, I'll rate you. Well, I'll rate you. You ain't much. You sat there like your mother-in-law just moved in with you. You got here late. Your breath stinks. I'll rate you. How about it? Two play that game. Amen. I will tell you something, brother. Listen, we're here to worship. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the Word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray in holy manner. We'll be showered all around. Glory to God. That's what we're here for this morning. Praise Him, people. Praise Him. Praise Him. I was listening to old Billy Kelly yesterday. And I've been listening to Billy Kelly and Mays Jackson this week, and I hope some of that old-fashioned preaching will rub off on me. Thank God it will. And you can hear them, get them all over the internet. Some guy in Tennessee makes them for me and sends me MP3s with about 50 sermons on them. And boy, I was listening to them yesterday, and old Billy said, he said an old preacher, he said an old country preacher told me, he said, if you ever get down and you can't feel God's presence, listen, I'm going to give you some good advice from the old-timers. He said, if you ever get down and you can't feel God's presence and your prayers ain't answered and you just can't seem to feel God when you read the Bible, he said, you throw up your hand and start praising Him. He said, you start praising Him. It don't matter if you feel like it or you just start saying, Lord, you've been good to me. I like hearing little kids on 780. Thank Lord, Lord, you've been so good. You've been so good. You've been so good. Oh, Lord, you've been so good. Man, I'm telling you, start saying that. You start thinking that. He said, you'll pray. You know what the Bible said? God inhabits the praise of His people. You get a bunch of people in here. People say, well, I just don't feel the Lord's presence no more. I'll tell you how to do it. So everybody throw up your hand and mean it. And you start saying, God, you've been... Listen, if everybody in here got in a praise spirit here this morning, there's no telling what would happen. There's no telling. You start praising Him, He'll show up. Why do you think when they go to a rock concert, everybody gets into it and starts throwing, the devil shows up. The power of the devil gets in. The Bible said they start singing. People start singing and start praising. The Holy Ghost will show up. You want the Lord to show up in your life? Just go out here, pray. Go down the road thanking. Instead of griping about everything don't go your way, go down the road thanking Him for all He's done for you. Thank God you're not in the hospital dying this morning. Thank God you ain't in some foreign country dying with AIDS and going to hell. You're saved. You're in here in America. You got to go to church this morning. You've been blessed. Hallelujah. You've been blessed. Hallelujah. We've been blessed this morning. You start praising Him for that and you watch what God might do in your life. He said, you start praising God. He'll come back to you. Number four, and I'm through. We hide our children from old-fashioned power. That's what brings kids under conviction. Not arguing, not lecturing. We hear a lot of lecturing stuff on evolution and creation, and I love it. I love to hear them debates. I love to hear Kent Hovind them debate, and Dr. Ruckman and all them. They debate these professors at school and everything. But you're not gonna get nobody saved by an intellectual argument. The Apostle Paul was a brilliant man, but he didn't use his education. He prayed the power of God down on people. Nothing wrong with being educated. I love those debates. I love to hear them. I love to hear them debate those evolutionists and those lawyers. But I'm going to tell you, brother, you know what will get people? You know what will get people changed and saved? Power. Power. I've seen young people, I couldn't tell you the times. Well, they'd sit halfway back and be all cool and didn't want to listen and sit like that the whole time and preach. And everybody prayed for them and talked to them and everything just sat like that. And the preacher would preach a good argument about how there's a hell. And everything, they'll just sit there like this. It just runs off them like water off a duck's back. Don't have no effect on them whatsoever. And I've seen them stand up in the invitation and people pull on their arms and everything. And they'll just stand there like that right there. And now you think there ain't no hope for them. They're a reprobate. There ain't no hope for them people ever get saved. But then I've seen the power of God move in, and you forget they're even there. And the next thing you know, here goes one shouting. Somebody jump up saying, "Whoa, God's been good." And honestly, you can just feel it. Come like waves come through there. Somebody gets in that church beside just us people. I've seen it get like that and get real thick, like we say. And about that time, I look back there, and they're looking down like this. And they're going down like, next thing I know, here they come, and just something breaks, and they hit the altar, and guess what? You know what got it? Not reasoning, not lecturing, not the charisma of the pastor, not the talent of the singer. Didn't have no effect on them whatsoever. But when the Holy Ghost power of God got on that church, brother, and God's power come down, they begin to break down. They begin to break down. Ladies and gentlemen, don't hide your kids from old-fashioned power. Don't hide them from tent revivals. Don't hide them from prayer meetings. Don't keep it from them. Don't keep it from them. Push your kids. I'm going to tell you, listen, if you hear about a great revival breaks out somewhere, if it's real, take your kids and go a night or two. Get in on it. Let them see what people getting saved looks like, what old-fashioned power feels like, what old-fashioned praying sounds like, what old-fashioned preaching does to us. Don't keep your children from them things. You say, where you find it? It's few and far between nowadays. It's few and far between. I remember sitting and listening to Dr. Jack Hiles years ago. And Lester Roloff, in person. And old Ralph Sexton Sr. and Percy Ray. Old Percy Ray, he was a strange one. And them old guys would pray. I remember listening to Ed McAbee down there at that camp meeting when I first got saved. And old Ed would point that finger down at us like that. And God and me only knows what was going on in my heart. It was like fireworks were going off inside me. That's what you don't want to keep your kids from. When they hear a preacher get up and preach, or singers get up and preach, and they don't take them to a church where God's power works while the preacher's preaching. It's not just enough that what he says is true. It's not just enough that we know God's with us. They got to know God's with us. We know He is, of course He is. But they got to know it. Lost people got to know it. David Brainerd, a missionary to the North American Indians, one of the greatest men that's ever lived. You hear people talk about the great missionary, David Brainerd, up in New England, way up there, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New England, up in that New York, snow that deep. And he preached to the American Indians. He couldn't understand a word they said. They didn't have no language school to go to. They couldn't understand him. He couldn't understand. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being in the wilderness, no highways, no interstate, no place to stay, no mission board to support you, and going? He was fell in love with Jonathan Edwards' daughter and was going to marry her. And he said, they said, well, a mission field ain't no place to take a young lady like that. So he went by himself, and he died when he was 29 and never did get to marry that girl. And David Brainerd would pray 6 and 8 and 10 hours a day. Someday all day long praying. And he was real sick, and he'd get up there in the snow, kneel down like that, and he'd start coughing. And they said it looked like rose petals on the snow. That was little bits of his lungs. He was coughing up. He was sick. And he'd get off and he'd preach to them Indians. And he wrote in his diary. I read his diary. You ought to read the diary of David Brainerd. It's unbelievable. And I read that book a long time ago. And you know what it said? He said, there seemed to be a spirit of earnestness among the natives today. And he couldn't understand a word they said. He'd say, Christ died for y'all. Jesus died for you. And he would look at the sky and preach to them like that. And he said one day while he's preaching, he saw tears start coming down their cheeks. Now you tell me, what done that? He didn't have a band. He didn't have a set of drums, soundtrack, sound system, stage lights. He didn't have a choir. He couldn't even understand a word they said. Big old tears. One time years ago, we took our choir when it was on fire for God, really on fire. We went to this big church one night to sing. We all piled in the back, about 75 or 80 of us. And there was a big singing group, got up. And I'm not trying to be ugly, but they had everything perfect. Outfit just alike. I mean their hair slicked back, them microphones. Oh boy, I've never made a mistake. Harmony perfect. They would all look at the one who was singing the verse, you know, and then they'd turn. I mean, it was down pat. Flawless. And everybody just sat there. Yeah. And he said, all right, got Danny Castle and them kids. Y'all come up here. The kids got up there and started singing. And the whole atmosphere of that place changed. And here come one to the altar, and here come another, and people was crying all over the church building like this. You know, was it talent? Mm-mm. Trust me. If I knew where to put the really bad ones. Well, you stand over here, away from the mic. It wasn't talent. Now, I tell you, it's good if you got the power of God and talent. But if you can only have one, take the power of God. I tell you when it's bad, when you ain't got neither one. And I've heard a lot of them too. When you ain't got no talent or God, just sit down. But anyway, they sing and the power of God moved. And I learned something. I learned something a long time ago. It's really not what I'm saying. It's what God's doing in your heart right now while I'm up here preaching. Because see, a lot of these people here this morning, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't have no idea what you've been through this week. Or how your home may be tore up. Or how you may have got that layoff slip. I don't know. But there's somebody helping me right now. And I know He's helping me this morning. That's working and talking to your heart right now. Don't keep your kids from old-fashioned power. Don't keep. Get them in that tent meeting this week. Get them in there. That's why we pushed to that youth rally. There ain't nothing like it. I don't know of anything like our youth rally anywhere. Anywhere. I'm sure there's something somewhere, but it's hard to find. Old-fashioned. Most of them got some modern and sophisticated. We got all religious and got it all figured out. And we just organized God right out the door. Don't keep your children from these things. I want you to stand, please. Everybody stand, please. Bow your head.